I found the Lord my soul.
I just couldn't be good. I just couldn't
my soul.
Be content to my Lord. I just couldn't
oh,
be content to my Lord,
Lord. Oh, until I found the Lord.
And Lord, I prayed and I prayed.
Hallelujah.
I prayed all night long.
Hallelujah. You know that I prayed.
I prayed and I prayed until I found the Lord, my soul.
I just couldn't be good. I just
couldn't
be content to my Lord.
I just couldn't
oh,
be content to my Lord,
Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord,
my soul.
I just couldn't be, I just couldn't
oh,
be content to my Lord.
I just couldn't my soul.
Be content to my Lord,
Lord.
Oh, until I found the Lord.
Then, Lord, I moan and I moan.
You know that
I moan and I moan.
Till I found the Lord,
my soul.
I just couldn't be, no, I just
my
couldn't
soul.
Be content to my Lord.
I just couldn't
oh,
be content to my Lord,
Lord. Oh, until I found the Lord,
my soul.
I just couldn't be, no, I just couldn't be content to my Lord. I just couldn't
my soul.
Be content to my Lord, Lord. Oh, until I found the Lord, until I found the Lord, until I found the Lord, until I found the Lord.
Are responsible. For all of them. I gave an example one time in a class. I said, you know, if you go out and you share the gospel with the world and you finally stand before your Lord and he says, yeah, you had all these people, but I got one question for you. What about this group over here? And they're your family. There's your wife and your kids. Did you forget about them? That's our first ministry, man. That's where we begin. That is where you are called to step up. Now, my brothers are going to share some testimonies, and I'm going to share mine also. But I want to tell you, this movie was followed by an invitation by Edgar and by Brian. I'm pointing over here because Edgar's here. To join a study. We were going to begin a men's study that became so much more than a men's study, so much more than a Bible study, so much more than an AA meeting. It was all of that and so much more. And do you know why it was so much more? Because God wanted it to be. He touched our lives. He moved in each man. The very first meeting, you're going to like this, we had 12 guys show up. It seemed interesting that there were 12. I think I've heard that number once before in the Bible. There was something about it, and that meeting was special. We didn't really know how it was going to go, right, Edgar? We just kind of let the Spirit lead us. And we had one of the most beautiful meetings we ever had. We had an opening of guys. Ladies, you share things that happen in your lives with other ladies. Yeah, we know. Guys hear that. But you do. And that's something that you have a gift and an ability to do. We guys, we get around each other and we go, hey, how you doing, Arnett? Oh, I'm fine. How's everything going at home? Oh, good. Yeah, right? That's the way we are, right? We do these things. We don't open up. At this meeting, we opened up. And ever since, we have opened up. And we found a special bonding among the men. We went from being guys who were attending a meeting to becoming true brothers. Because now we knew everything about each other. We didn't hold anything back. truth was revealed between each one of us. That's not easy when you got to tell your brother, well, let me tell you how my life's been. We heard everything. As they say, there's nothing new. We also found out that the sins of my brothers were no greater and no less than my own. We decided to stand by each other. We came to each other's aid in times of need. My brother Dwayne, 12 years older than me, died in August following this series. My brothers came to my aid. It still impresses me how these men did not hesitate in my time of need. They have been there for me, and I have been there for them. And this is the message we want to share with you. This is the kind of relationship the men can have within your church. They can go from being guys that just show up on Sabbath, help out with a few things, maybe lead a class or two, and then go home. And they live their lives. And then they come back the next week. They can go from that to being men who actually want to come to church on a Wednesday night when they don't have to. We had one meeting where we had 35 gentlemen show up for a meeting. They were under no obligation to be there. We didn't have food to offer them. We didn't have any kind of special handouts or prizes or raffles. Well, I guess we did have some food. The bread of life was there. I've spoken long enough for my intro. And my brothers are anxious. I see them looking at me. So I'm going to start. I'm going to introduce my brother Wayne Freeman. Amen. To come up. He has a interesting past, but he has an even more interesting future. Amen. And I'll let him share that with you.
Amen. Morning. Happy Sabbath. Well, I'm on my path to heaven this morning. Are you?
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't always been that way. Not for me. I know it hasn't been for you either. I've been through some stuff in my life I'm going to share with you. I'm third generation Seventh-day Adventist. I went to Seventh-day Adventist school. I went to Sacramento Union Academy. I attended there until my parents seen that I was too much of a bad influence on the people that went there, and they took me out of there and kicked me out of the house. In seventh grade, I started smoking pot. I started using speed. I found crystal methamphetamine. It took me down a path in my life for 32 years. It's a sick, perverted drug. It's the number one drug in the United States. Every person in this room has heard about it. There's no hiding it. There's no denying it. We got a problem here. The Lord seemed fit to see me out of it. I was dealing drugs for a prison game called the Sacromaniacs. I couldn't be in that gang because I hadn't been to Folsom Prison. But I was just crazy enough to get to know the president of the club, and he respected how much of, I don't want to use the word. I was not a nice person. You could look at me and it wasn't good. Well, I seen a few things. I wasn't dealing for him long. The Lord started putting into my heart that this isn't where I need to be. I needed to be somewhere where my kids could respect me. my ex-wife could respect me, my dad, and I could feel the love of God working on me. I started praying. My mom had a prayer ministry just for me. She died in 1992. She left some friends of mine to pray for me. And they prayed for me diligently. And at my 30-year reunion at Sacramento Adventist Academy, they got to see the answers to their prayers. They made me class pastor. That praise God, huh?
Amen.
Prayer, the power of prayer. Can you imagine how my father feels in heaven? Can you imagine how my dad feels here on earth? My journey continues. The Lord is really working with me. This is where He wants me. I'm getting ready to go to school at Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism in August. Praise God. That just amazes me. We have an awesome God. Amen. You know, about 2 years ago, Karen Batchelor, I know you guys heard of Doug Batchelor. I went to school with Karen Batchelor. We're friends. She told me about AFCO. And I couldn't see how a person could leave his job, his home, his dog, his family, and go and pay and go to school. Are you kidding me? Really? Well, you know, the Lord, He did some amazing stuff in my life, and I applied, and I got accepted. And I'm going to go.
Amen.
I'm going to share the Word of God with as many people as I can.
Amen.
Okay? Enough about me. You know, let me just add a little to that. We all know somebody that is on drugs. I want to stress that prayer for that person is all you can do. You can talk until you're red in the face. You can throw them in jail. You can spank them. You can do, but you know what? Only God has the power to save a person. The person is going to get sick of their life, or they're not going to get sick of their life, and they're going to start talking to a higher power. Okay? And at that time, we need to support them. Okay? We don't need to support them when they're doing bad. I know it's hard, but everybody that tried to help me as I was growing up, they did nothing but hurt me. You know, we learned by our mistakes.
Yeah.
Amen? Now for the courageous group. We started this courageous group, and I had just come back to the church in 2011. Oh, by the way, I've been clean for 7 years. Praise God. The Courageous Men's Group gave me a place where we went through a book, the Courageous Book, chapter by chapter, week by week. Each chapter gave each individual in that group an avenue to deal with those problems in their life verbally with a group of men that cared. We shared stuff that only us men could talk about to us men. You can't bring those prayers to your pastor. Hey, you know, maybe you can. I don't know your pastor. You know? We talked about stuff. You know, we all have things in our life that keep reoccurring in our brain, that keep coming back to us. You know, and we tell the devil, you know, quit it. I don't want to hear it no more. Well, you know what? Once you bring that out and you talk about it and you discuss it with your fellow brothers and you pray about it, man, you've just whipped him. And I mean to tell you, it is a way to get over stuff. Okay? That the power of prayer is amazing. You know, I want to thank Edgar for showing the movie Courageous. Guys, what I went through started 40 years ago. Satan is at his end. The power that he's coming at us with is four times as strong as the power that I was dealing with as a kid. Our children, our kids, our loved ones, the people, our neighbors, the people that are around us are looking at us, and they need to see God. They need to see the love of Christ in you. We all have things that we're working on. We can't come and warm the seats here at church on Sabbath and make it work. Okay? We need to be involved with what's going on now. We need to become a part of this body and become missionaries for God now. I'm glad that you guys are interested in having courageous meetings. I'll be glad to show up and help you with anything that you need to get started. And I thank you for listening and hearing me. And God bless.
I would also, or I'd like to now introduce our next speaker. He has a little bit of an accent, so you might have a little fun listening to his voice. My brother comes from, a few miles away?
Across the Pacific. No, the other one.
Nevin, I'm going to say your first name, but I'm going to let you pronounce the last name.
My last name is Gurgas. Try not to break your tongue when you try to pronounce it, okay? Thank you, Rob. My accent comes from the fact that I was born and raised in what is today called Croatia. And I was 15 years old when I came to America. So that's where my accent comes from. The funny thing is, when I came to America, didn't speak a word of English, so they introduced me to a young man who spoke my native language. And I became friends with him. He used to translate for me. Well, not really. We were just talking about girls and whatnot. You know, that's what you do when you are 15 years old. And I couldn't learn any English that way, so they forced me to go to school by myself. And I learned pretty quick after that. But he introduced me at a New Year's party to a bunch of young people. He invited me to this party. I said, sure, I'll go. What I found out in that party was that all of these young kids, well, they're not young, I mean, 15, 16, 17, 18, they had lots of fun without using any foul language or without sneaking off to have a cigarette or, sticking a drink. Basically, I was extremely attracted to this group of people. To make a long story short of what transpired thereafter, basically, at the age of 18, I decided to give my heart to the Lord, and I was baptized. Now, mind you, I have always been what you would consider a good kid. Okay, one of our problems is that when you grow up to be a good kid, guess how you grow up? Proud. You think you are better than everybody else. I was 27 when I was married. 22 years later, my late wife, she passed away from breast cancer. And I went to, a few months later, to one of these singles meetings up in the mountains, and that is where the Lord really brought to my attention, hey, Nevin, you are dirty as the dirtiest rag at the bottom of the ocean. I think Isaiah says that, and I can't remember where it's found. Okay, and that experience has brought me closer to the Lord that specific weekend, because it is in Him where I found everything, not in my goodness, which was really dirty in His eyes. then in central here, I am going really, really forward. There's a lot of details I'd like to share, but I'll be here the whole afternoon. Here comes this courageous group in central, and I am thinking, oh, I'm fine, you know. I haven't dealt any time with drugs. I have never smoked, never drank. I was always a good kid. Why do I need to go there? But I felt inspired. Go, Nevin, go. Okay. Well, to those of us here in the audience who have never had issues, like Brother Wayne just shared with us, never had those issues, always thought you were a good guy, this is for you. If you are attracted to the things of the Lord and what the Lord can do with lives, go. You will not only be so inspired, but you will become a tool to inspire those that are trying to climb up out of the gutter that you have not maybe experienced. Okay? Go, attend. Even if you don't have a dramatic testimony to share, just go and support these gentlemen, because they look at you, what the Lord has done in your life. Always remembering that in Him you find holiness, not in your own good works. Okay, now I'd like to share with you, this is what has been brought to my attention this week when I was asked to share my testimony with you. Moses was speaking with the Lord in the tent of meeting over there in the desert. The Lord showed himself in this cloud. So Moses was speaking with the Lord, but Moses never saw him, just, you know, this cloud and the voice. And finally, Moses says in Exodus 33, he says, in this tent of meeting where the Lord, Moses was having conversation with the Lord, says, I pray you, show me your glory. What was Moses asking for in here? Lord is the creator. I mean, he created the whole universe. Can you? You have seen pictures from Hubble telescope. You have seen descriptions of the Lord. And what does the Lord, Moses ask? Well, show me what is your glory. And then the Lord says, I myself will make my goodness before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and so on. Then finally here in chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Listen to this. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Now mind you, this is the Lord who is the creator of the whole universe. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Men, are some of you not so slow to anger? And abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Men, can your mothers, fathers, can your wives say that you are abounding in loving kindness? Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity. But to make sure that Moses wouldn't get the wrong impression that that's all he is just loving kindness, he explains, well, he also does not take for granted anybody who isn't behaving that way. So men, as you are contemplating supporting each other through your ministry here, are you attracted to the Lord's loving kindness? It is that loving kindness that will find you attractive in the eyes of your family, your children. By beholding, you become changed. What are you beholding on a daily basis? Thank you so much.
He's a little taller than I am. My third friend that has joined us, my brother, also has a little bit of an accent. He's not from quite so far away. Max, come on up. If you can't tell, this is my younger brother here.
Excuse me. Our greetings and salutations. I had physical surgery several times. And the first one I had is my throat. I had a surgery on it. And when I speak somewhere, it impedes my words. But I'll try to speak louder. 4 months ago, I had a mild stroke. And I took... I had to go to a speech therapy. Occupational therapy, physical therapy. That's 4 months ago. I stayed in the hospital for 3 weeks. Stayed at home for 1 week. And physical therapy walked me around the block of the house 2 times, exercise. And then later on, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks later, the nurse signed me off because I'm doing well. Amen. What I learned from the Courageous Group is leadership. For yourself. Leadership for your family, for your wife, and for your kids. Last of all, leadership for Christ. Yeah, it's more than 2 hours since they called me to help up with this witnessing for Christ from the Courageous Group. So I said, okay. I used to hear the Minutemen in the church. I say, okay, I'll be a Minuteman. Thank you. That's why I'm here, not prepared to speak. But let me see. I have 3 texts that you'll understand later on after I finish talking. Well, the first one is Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator. In the days of youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The Grace Group gave me lots of insight how to have a better family, better person, and witnessing for Christ. I forgot to tell you, I'm from Hawaii. I was born in Hawaii. And 3 years later, my mom says, I'd like to take the kids for vacation. But my dad worked in Hawaii, at Pearl Harbor. He was on the way to work in December 7, 1941, rode the bus. But when he came to Pearl Harbor, he saw bombings, plane fighting, and smokes everywhere. And he asked the bus operator if he can take him home, the bus, back to the city of Honolulu. A few years later, he was working around the house one Sunday. He turned on the radio. He heard the voice of prophecy. He followed it. He found Christ. So I started in the fifth grade, Adventist. I was baptized when I was 11. And we used to study the voice of prophecy by mail. We have to answer the questions and mail it. And we were in the Philippines during the war. And we used to go to school in the morning in a public school run by the Japanese soldiers. And in the afternoon, because of Seventh-day Adventists, anyway, that's how I met the Lord. And we came back later. But before that, the nearest I came to the drug scene is that when I was 7 years old, my cousin says, "You'll be a man if you take a smoke of this pipe, of this cigarette." And I took one puff and I said, "Forget it." I was choked and never touched smoking again. And the last time I had this drug is when I was drafted in the army and I was in Germany. Went to this ice cream parlor. And after we finished, well, I thought it was chocolate on the bottom of the ice cream. I took all of it. And it was a wine. I was bummed coming out from the ice cream parlor. And I know that's the last time I took drugs. Thank you for listening to my faith in Christ, leadership of Christ. And thanks for the courageous group.
Some of these testimonies are pretty difficult, even when they've been said before. I don't have a history of being in a gang. I didn't go through a severe motorcycle accident or lose a wife. And I didn't live on an island that was attacked or deal with drugs or things like that. You'd say I was probably the fortunate one. My sin was greater, if there is such a thing. Mine was pride. I'm going to tell you a story about two men. One gentleman got married, had three kids, raised a family. In between, he argued with the wife, yelled at the kids. I mean yelled, like men can yell when they get really, really mad. Yelled at his wife. Treated them poorly. And worst of all, he mocked his wife's church. He would tell people, "How stupid can they possibly be? I mean, they can't even go to church on the right day. Everybody knows Sunday's the day." He carried that, not for a short time, but for 30 years.
My good friend Wilma can attest to this. He was not the kind of guy you'd want to have up here, nor did he ever expect to be. But God has a plan, even for someone like him. There's another gentleman who came to life just a few years ago. A young man. You know him as Taj Paklib. I know him as Ananias. Came to this blind first man and gave him sight. Baptized, born again. This guy, the second guy, changed completely. He doesn't yell, except in adoration of his Lord. He became a member of a group of 12 guys who started studying the Resolution for Men, the book that went with the movie Courageous. Two young men led it, and this guy became a third. And between the three of them, they went through a study that revealed more to themselves than they ever thought they would find. They opened up more, they shared more, and they became more than they ever expected. They changed from men and friends to true brothers. They stepped out of the darkness into God's light. They heard his call. This second man has been listening to that call ever since. People have repeatedly told him, slow down, stop, hesitate, wait, you're going to burn out. You can't keep going the way you're going. Nobody can do that. The more this man has got, the more he wants. He can't hear enough of it. He can't receive enough. And he wants to share every single bit of himself with everyone that he meets. As you've guessed, these two men are the same men. I was baptized on March 17th, 2012, the same day they showed the movie. That was the first time in my 58 years of life that I had been baptized. In a church I swore I'd never have anything to do with. I heard the truth, and I understood what you all already had, what you guys already had accepted and learned. But when you come from where I was, claiming to be a Christian, claiming to be a man of God, if people walked up and said, what do you believe in? Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Now excuse me while I go get a beer. Now excuse me while I turn on the TV because that's more important to me than my wife and my kids. Excuse me as I focus on pornography or other things in my life that have torn me down and kept me down. Until Ananias came to me. I was Paul laying in the dirt. I was lost for a lot more than 3 days. I was blind. But my brothers, they showed mercy. They accepted me as I was. We are a hospital. We're not looking for the healthy, we're looking for the sick. We're looking to heal, not to just pat them on the back and send them out with a prescription. Your pastor here is a true man of God. Your men's ministry leader came and asked if we would come and share this story. Amen. Pretty powerful stuff. This is a lot more than men's studies have been. This is a lot more than simple Bible studies, getting together, hanging out with the guys, and shooting the breeze and whatever else. This was something more. This was a calling by God to the men of our church. Now, this was not just two fathers. This was two single men. We had fathers and sons. We had brothers. Our youngest was 15, 16 years old. Our oldest was, we don't count that high. They were all welcome. They were all challenged. Try sitting there and saying something in front of your own son about your past that he doesn't know about, and you need to reveal this. Not because guys are asking you to, going, oh, what'd you do? But because God is telling you to. Like I said, Wilma knows my past. Several of you know my past. You know the guy I was. But what's great is he's no more. We, the men of Central, are sharing this message because we want to share it with your men also. We wouldn't have this here unless we felt this was something that your men, your ladies, your families could use, could benefit from, and it'll just flat out change your lives. You will be transformed. You'll be transformed to become the husbands and fathers that our wives have been praying for, even 30 years. You will be courageous and willing to seek God and obey His commands. That's not easy for guys. We don't like people telling us what to do, even God. I think one guy said, I don't like going to church. And the pastor said, why? He said, because there's somebody there that's always telling me what to do. We will be forced, going through this study, to not only confront, as my brothers were saying, our idols, our addictions. It's amazing what happens to sin when you bring it out into God's light. It begins to dissipate. And all of a sudden, that thing in your back or on your shoulders becomes so much lighter. I'd like my three brothers to come back up here and stand with me if they could. And Edgar, can you join us also? And Arnett, can you come on up? This study is for all men. I was 58 years old when God touched me. You can't be too old. Ladies, if you have somebody in your life that you've been praying for, oh, Lord, please reveal to him, touch his heart. Do not give up. Don't ever give up.
Amen.
Thank God my wife didn't give up. Amen. Our kids asked us after we started this, you know, is this kind of a phase you're going through? Is this something that's, you know, okay, you're trying this now? I mean, kind of like being a fan of the Lakers. Or should I say the Kings now because they won? But it's so much more. It has become so much more. I wake up in the morning thanking God that he woke me up, as your song said. I wake up in the morning, I go to work. I'm a CPA. I do taxes. And yet I share the gospel with people that come to my office. They don't expect that when they come in. I was just looking for tax advice, not God advice. And I go, well, you get both, and there's no charge. The challenge will break the chains in our lives. It has done that. The chains of addictions, the chains of heredity, the chains we learn from our father and his father and his father. All of those bad, abusive things stop now. Because we, this generation of men, have decided we're going to do something about it. We're going to make the steps. We're going to make the changes. We are going to become leaders in our families. We are going to love our wives so much more than they've ever been loved. More than the TV. More than the device in our hands. More than our cars. More than our jobs. That was a big problem for me. More than ourselves. We are going to become and have become responsible for our wives and our children. To become true, faithful men of God. This book will challenge you, but I must, to be fair, I have to read the warning first. A warning in a Christian book? What kind of warning would there be? I'll read it. Weak men will not be able to handle the contents of this book. The resolution is not for the faint of heart, and those who commit to it will be more accountable in the future. Guys, listen to that. That's not something easy. You will be challenged to get out of your comfort zone, work through hidden issues from your past, and make strategic sacrifices for the sake of your family and your faith. But those who step up to the challenge will find that living out the resolution will radically impact their priorities and assist them in becoming strong men who are found faithful. It will take courage, but it will be worth it all. You've been warned. Don't take this lightly. Don't consider this to be just another one of those studies. This is a game changer permanently. Not just game now, but for the rest of your eternity. And this is nothing compared to this. This is his word. And that's where we need to spend our time as men. How can you, as a man, bless your children when you yourself deny God's word? How can you lead when you don't even know how to follow God? How can you stand in front of a church when you denied them, forsake them, ridiculed them? When you walk out of here and you say, that was nice, and by an hour from now you've forgotten every word that was said. Don't let that happen. And I'm going to make an even tougher challenge right now. I'm going to ask every man who has the courage and the willingness to join us, to come down here, to step forward. Pastor Mackey, please come up. Mr. Anthony, please come up. I want to pray for you. I want to also ask the men that want to support the other men in their church to come forward in support of their men. Guys, don't let this be something you just pass by. Trust me, this will change your life. This will make a difference in every piece of your life. Show the courage and willingness God has for you. If you think your life is perfect and you don't need this, come on down, because there's other of us who definitely need it. And we need perfect guys like you to show us how to live the life and continue to encourage us, to guide us and lift us. So be here in support or be here in commitment. But commit to this, gentlemen. Don't just do this as a show in front of your wives and families. Commit to this now, that this is something you really are going to stand by. Southside needs this. We have too many men that are we have too many men that have left behind their responsibilities. There are too many kids. One-third of the children that are born today do not have a father present at their birth. Over half of the kids being raised in the United States of America do not have a father in the house. What is wrong with us? We think that the world says it's okay to just walk away. That's fine. We think it's okay because the world said, get a divorce. You don't like her, just get a divorce. Those kids aren't your problem. They're the government's problem. The school should be teaching them how to do right and wrong. Where do we get this stuff? Because we're spending all of our time with our idol, which is that stupid TV. Gentlemen, turn it off. Just go home and turn it off. Say, that's enough. I've had enough of it. But Rob, I like to watch the sports. But Rob, I need to hear the news. You want to know the sports? I'll give you the sports. One team won. The other one lost. Good enough? Okay? Whether it was your team or not, what will happen tomorrow? The Kings won yesterday in hockey. How many lives were changed because of that? The Lakers didn't. How many lives were changed by that? The news. You want to know what's going on? It's right here. It's the best news. This is the true news. Don't listen to the stuff on TV. You know what's coming. Now, wives, I'm going to ask you to do something special. I'm going to ask the ladies of this church, I'd like you to now come and fill in behind these men. If you can come forward, stand behind them in support of your husbands and the men in the church. If you can't, stand where you are, if you can. If you're unable to stand, I understand completely. If you're holding two kids in each arm, you stay seated. That's fine. And I'd like to pray for these men. Come in close, guys. Come on in close. Guys, come on in. Go down there. Lay your hands on these guys. I want to pray for your men who are our brothers. God doesn't look at the outside of us. He looks at the inside of us. We are exactly the same. There is no difference. None of these men have any sins that are any greater or less than mine. But God has the answer. And He has forgiven us. He throws those sins into a sea of forgetfulness. Pastor said, you're not going to preach, are you? My brother said, you better not give him the mic. I do like to talk a little bit. Sorry about that. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we recognize fathers today, but Lord, let us recognize you, our Heavenly Father. The Father with a capital F.
You've brought men together. You've shown us your way and your calling. Lord, I ask that you bless every single man standing right now. Bless every man who could not be here. Give them the hope, Lord. Let them know that you are with them, that you are guiding them, and that you will never, ever leave them, no matter what. No matter what their sin, no matter what their past, you are here to carry them through it. I want to bless the women and the families that are here in support of their husbands, who have been crying out to you, Lord, bring him home. Bring him home to you. And you are doing that, Lord. Touch each man, touch each heart here. And my brothers from Central, and joining me, Pastor Mackey, men's leader, Mr. Anthony, my brother Arnett, all of us are praying for you and asking God to unite your group of men in a brotherhood bond that nothing can break. Allow them to be open, to be free with each other, to speak to each other, to feel able to call upon each other and to answer the call of each other, to be there with them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, guide them, protect them. Show them the way to become the men you have called them to be. Lift them up as you did Paul and myself out of the dirt, out of the mess. Guide us, Father. Guide each one of us today. Bless these men. Bless them in your life, in their lives. Reveal to them your teachings. And make them the men of God, the men of Southside Church that you have called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all.